This is episode 51 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Anthony F. Sanchez's book, UFO Highway 2.0, Revisiting the Hidden Expanse. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from chapter 2, which is titled The Dulce Interview. And this is what Anthony has written. Given the mysterious aspects of the UFO phenomenon and the potential repercussions of disclosing top secret information, the interviewee has been guaranteed anonymity. Thus, he will be referred to as Colonel X, or simply the Colonel. I acquired the information from Colonel X on the condition that his identity remains undisclosed under any circumstances, unless explicit permission is granted. In this interview, they are talking about the Army's discovery of the Dulce base in 1940 and what happened in that year. So here's the first question. Colonel, what did they uncover within this facility? Colonel replies, in the reports compiled by the soldiers who were instructed to document their findings, they stumbled upon a peculiar discovery within the unoccupied upper levels of the Dulce base. These findings included what seemed to be ancient artifacts intermixed with modern-looking yet familiar machinery. Some walls were adorned with radar-like screens, while individual stations were scattered about. Strangely, these stations were too small for any human to fit in comfortably, and some were equipped with various types of cryptography machines or what might have been electric typewriters. All these devices were connected to flat radar-like screens. Hell, they didn't have a clue. They were baffled. The soldiers couldn't discern the purpose of any of these devices for their functions. One soldier noted, "Everything we are uncovering here is highly sophisticated in design, far surpassing our latest military electronic equipment. It appears to be of German origin, perhaps." The commanding officer recorded in his report that in every room there were contraptions resembling oversized electronic television sets, possibly of German origin in appearance. They were massive and remarkably flat, covering most walls near the equipment and electric machines. Initially, he thought these might be windows, but he soon realized they served as screens for the numerous stations positioned in front of them. The surface was incredibly smooth, akin to glass, but it contained some form of liquid inside, which seemed implausible due to its paper-thin nature. The same report also detailed the presence of thick, black cables housing hundreds of individual and delicately illuminated wires as fine as strands of hair. These wires seemed to be made of glass, but were surprisingly pliable, remaining undamaged even when twisted or bent. At the ends of these wires, bundles of exposed glass fibres with illuminated tips appeared to be receiving some form of transmitted signals. The blinking followed a discernible pattern, although the soldiers were uncertain of its origin of source. As they traced the source of these cables, it became apparent that they originated from deep below the upper levels. Many of these cables had been severed, appearing as if they had been roughly removed, as though someone had forcibly cut them. What added to the mystery was the age of the surrounding evidence, which suggested that the equipment might have been in place for hundreds of years, left undisturbed throughout that time. The inquisitive among them couldn't help but wonder, how could there be a power source? However, here's where things take a truly bizarre turn. A part of the report that left me questioning not only the authenticity of what I was reading, but also my own reasons for venturing into this place. You see, amidst all the modern-looking machinery, the report indicated that just beyond the cavern entrance, nearly several hundred feet inside, they stumbled upon American Indian tools, identifiable by the leather sheaths and bone-handled designs. They also discovered over 100 arrows, bows and quivers, all dating back to the late 1800s. This discovery aligned with the few Colt revolvers and Winchester repeater rifles they found, all in remarkably pristine, functional condition. Scattered around the area, they found both unused and spent ammunition, strewn as if some violent incident had taken place. The report noted that the soldiers were tempted to touch these artifacts, but the commanding officer, with the wisdom to preserve these findings for the experts, forbade any contact under the threat of court-martial. The commanding officer penned, "Everything about this location feels wrong." He sensed that everything appeared out of its proper time, as if they were discovering anachronisms in each new room they entered. The machinery, though futuristic in appearance, seemed easily capable of being centuries old, judging by the way cobwebs, dirt, and dust had accumulated on the devices. It defied all logic. As they ventured deeper into the facility, they made a grim discovery: human remains. Some of them appeared to be American Indians, distinguishable by their traditional attire. However, it was clothing that no Indian, as far as he knew, had worn in recent memory. This was attire that, he swore, was reminiscent of mid-19th century Apache warriors. Initially, they thought these findings could be traced back to at least the 1840s, but subsequent analysis suggested a closer tie to the 1870s, primarily due to the presence of Colt revolvers. In this report, the commanding officer pondered, what brought Apache warriors to this place? Who were their adversaries? And what drove their conflict? After a day of exploration inside and beneath the mesa, he decided to establish a camp at the end of the first day's journey through the caverns. That night passed without incident. The following day, they ventured deeper into the caverns. The natural rock formations on the walls gradually yielded to more structured and uniform patterns. These were large, flat walls composed of unfamiliar metallic substance. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is jump forward in the chapter to another part of the report, and this is what the colonel said. The report detailed a harrowing series of events over the next 3 days, when two soldiers, determined to go even deeper, acted without permission from the commanding officer. What I'm about to relate is based on an account written by one of the scientific team officers who interviewed the lone returning soldier. It all began when two men crawled down into the dimly lit tunnel area from which the sounds had originated. They wanted to uncover who was behind this and why. As they drew closer, the walls started to drip with condensation due to high levels of humidity and combined heat, which became nearly unbearable for the two men as they ventured deeper downward. As they ventured deeper, they began to pick up voices, the voices of the inhabitants, emanating from the depths. This sent a shiver down the spines of the two soldiers. The report described their language as a peculiar blend of hushed whispers and clicking noises, reminiscent of some of the exact sounds that had been used earlier as a means of deterrence. Continuing their exploration, the soldiers stumbled upon a group of inhabitants just beyond a round-shaped doorway in one of the side tunnels they had covertly entered. Before being detected, one of the soldiers reported witnessing as many as 50 inhabitants within a single, remarkably spacious chamber. In this room, there were tables adorned with what seemed to be laboratory equipment, and the inhabitants appeared to be engaged in work, conducting experiments or medical procedures on other inhabitants or creatures that were not easily identifiable to the soldiers. Amid the thick air of fear and imminent trepidation, so much was transpiring that it took a few moments for the soldiers to grasp the truth. What they were witnessing was not human, but something entirely different: small beings with enlarged heads and enormous eyes. This realization sent a wave of terror through them, rendering them speechless and paralyzed by fear. On one side of this expansive chamber, a wall sported screens resembling the electronic televisions they had encountered on the higher levels, but with vivid colours and displaying images of their base camp situated on the first level. They were under surveillance. It dawned on them that these entities had been observing every move they had made since their arrival. Desiring to retreat discreetly through the narrow corridor that had provided them a vantage point into the chamber, the soldiers attempted to leave without attracting attention. However, as they began their withdrawal, endeavouring not to be noticed, one of them accidentally dropped his pistol, which he had been clutching. Although he swiftly retrieved it, the commotion alerted the entire room to their presence. As they hastily began their retreat, one of the soldiers was suddenly seized and forcibly dragged into the room, his screams echoing through the tunnels. The soldier who managed to escape swiftly drew his pistol and sprinted as fast as his legs could carry him. He could hear the repeated gunfire coming from the other soldier who had re-entered that room. It was evident he was firing at those entities. This week I'm reading from Anthony F. Sanchez's book, UFO Highway 2.0, Revisiting the Hidden Expanse. And if you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.